This is the podcast from JNS Pediatrics. Welcome. I'm Natalie Pincham, and this is the April 18, 2014 podcast from JNS Pediatrics, which includes articles on the following topics: vascular disorders and craniosynostosis. Revascularization and Pediatric Aneurysm Surgery, a clinical article by M. Yashar Kalani and colleagues. Aneurysms in the pediatric population are rare, with most academic centers treating only one or two of these lesions per year. In patients in this age group, aneurysms are frequently more complicated than in their adult patients, and accumulating evidence suggests that these lesions have aggressive natural histories, necessitating their aggressive, immediate treatment. With a life expectancy measuring decades, microsurgery is likely to be a more durable and robust technique for the treatment of pediatric aneurysms. Although a majority of pediatric aneurysms can be treated with clip ligation, a subset of these lesions require advanced microsurgical techniques, including cerebral revascularization. In this article, Kalani and co-workers present the experience of the Barrow Neurological Institute with the use of bypass techniques for treatment of pediatric aneurysms, outlining the indications and outcomes for these techniques in this population. Altered brain connectivity in sagittal craniosynostosis. A laboratory investigation by Joel Beckett and co-authors. Although sagittal craniosynostosis was formerly seen as a purely cosmetic condition, growing evidence indicates that up to 50% of children with isolated sagittal craniosynostosis have cognitive impairment. To date, no studies have explored the relationship between the observed neurocognitive deficits and functional brain differences in these children. In the present study, the lead authors, Beckett and Brooks, and their colleagues, use functional connectivity and structural diffusion tensor magnetic resonance imaging to investigate such differences between children with sagittal non-syndromic craniosynostosis and controls. 8 adolescents, in whom sagittal non-syndromic craniosynostosis had been previously corrected by total vault cranioplasty, were appropriately matched with 8 control individuals without craniosynostosis. Both groups underwent magnetic resonance imaging. Compared to controls, the craniosynostosis group showed significant altered function in the medial prefrontal cortex, left lateral parietal cortex, and the default mode network. Structural diffusion tensor imaging data showed trends toward altered diffusion in these networks, but statistical significance was not reached. Ultimately, this study suggests that in children with sagittal craniosynostosis, a dysfunctional default mode and prefrontal network may underlie the increased rate of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and behavioral and attentional issues seen in individuals with this condition. Dysfunction of the left lateral parietal cortex may similarly contribute to the increased rate of reading and visuospatial learning disabilities encountered in sagittal children. Future studies are warranted. Thank you for listening. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. For more information on how to submit your research to the Journal of Neurosurgery, please visit thejns.org and click on Info for Authors.